I think we stopped on verse 15. So we'll start at verse 15 after we have a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Wiley, would you want to take us to the throne of grace?
Heavenly Father, we are glad for this time. We're gathering to study the written word, and we pray as we study it that you'll take it and make the living word out of it,
yes,
Lord, that you'll apply it to our hearts. And this day, Lord, we pray as we remember our soldiers who gave their lives for this country. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for all the blessings of life and the privileges we have in this country that we live in. We're thankful most of all that you are God and that you're in control of things. As we go forth this day, let us always remember that whatever happens, Lord, you're in control of the situation.
Yes.
So lead and direct us in a way that would be most pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And I'll tell you, when I read that verse, one of the first things that popped into my head is, aren't you glad that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
There's no, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. And in that particular verse says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous.
Yes.
And Betty, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So his eyes are constantly upon you.
Yes.
And you know, and when you talk about eyes, I know initially in our mind we think of sight and envision. And I was looking at a couple of verses, and one of the verses that I spotted was in Genesis 3:5, where I guess it was the serpent was talking to Eve, and he says, "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened." Now, obviously, Eve had the ability to see. She could see. So what was the enemy talking about when he says, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened? It was almost like the definition of the word eyes in the Strong says, it says mental and spiritual faculties, the power to do and the ability to perform an action. And it's like when we're talking about eyes there, we're not just talking about God's ability to see you, but we're talking about all the abilities that God has in his eyes, all the spiritual faculties and all the mental, all of God's mental powers and spiritual powers are in his eyes. You know, it says that he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's omniscient, he's the only mind really in the universe that controls all things. So when it says that the eyes are upon you, it means that God is just totally knows everything about you. He knows where you've been, he knows where you're going, you know.
Because so, 139 Psalm tells us that.
What's it? Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the eyes? Now our eyes that we understand God with are not these.
Right. It's good.
Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding.
There you go.
Yes.
That's good.
Being enlightened.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
So that's the eyes we see with our understanding. When we understand something, we can say, I see it now.
Yes. Right.
It becomes something you can rely on.
Scripture you read in Genesis, I did a little studying into that one time, and what I felt like that the Lord really, what was really happening back there, said, in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. And what actually happened, their eyes were open, Adam's eyes and Eve's eyes were open to the sensual realm.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the five natural senses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, we have five natural senses and we have five spiritual senses.
Mm-hmm.
And the five natural senses are taste, see, hear, touch, feel, you know, all the different ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have five spiritual senses like that. Because Scripture will tell you, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tell you, it'll talk about smelling the sweet rose, the fragrance of the sweet rose of Sharon or something. It'll talk about hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Well, it's not really natural hearing as much as it is spiritual hearing, hearing what God's speaking to you. And what happened was Adam and Eve were lowered into the sensual realm of the five natural senses. And it really, what it did was it closed them off from the spiritual realm.
Yes.
And that's why when God spoke to him, all of a sudden they realized they were naked.
Yes.
When God did speak to him, "Who told you were naked?" God said. Mm-hmm. Well, they really weren't naked until they were unclothed with the five spiritual senses. That's where they lost their covering, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel like what he's saying here, when he's talking about even what you're saying, Jim, mm-hmm. it's excellent. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and the ears are open to his cry, or to their cry. You know, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you would see revelations of God, there would always be eyes all around about, you know, because it was a type of him showing you he sees everything.
One scripture said the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good.
Right.
In other places, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth that he might show himself strong and on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect for him.
Revelation 5 says, "And the eyes which are the seven spirits of God send forth into all the earth."
You know, Miles used to say something. You remember him saying that your eyes were in your heart. You remember him saying that? You guys remember hearing him say that? And you know, really, the thing that you focus on the most, that's where your heart is, you know.
Yes.
And you know, and I think a lot of times that's the thing that we tend to want to see the most. So if we focus on God the most, then our eyes are upon him and our heart is set upon him too. You know?
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. We were talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. Do you think that, is it hearing the voice? Of course, I realize that the Lord can communicate with us in any way, shape, or form that he wants to. But don't you think that hearing the voice of the Lord is more a question of knowing the voice of the Lord instead of hearing an audible?
Knowing.
Yeah, right.
It's just something that doesn't require words.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what Paul might have meant when he said he was caught into the third heaven and heard words that were unlawful to be uttered.
Mm-hmm.
That he heard in his understanding or in his inner knowing, he heard what he.
Don't you think that he was caught up really into the Holy of Holies, into the glory
Absolutely.
Of God?
The third heaven's got to be the Holy of
Holies. Right. That's what I'm thinking too.
I think the three heavens are one could be the natural heavens that you look when you see the sky. The second heavens is beyond that, and then the third heavens is in the total consciousness of God.
Wow. And that's the day that I think that we're moving into right now.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
You was talking about natural words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning of the Gospel of John. And the word there is logos, and Brother gave kind of a definition of the word logos last week. Brother Doug, God gave me a slightly different interpretation of that, and what I felt like he gave me was the logos is the thought, the intention, and the purposes of God. And when he speaks to you, he begins to change your thoughts, your intentions, and your purposes. You begin to realize what your purpose really is, you know. And, you know, that's why we have to come to the realization, Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. Well, if you have the mind of Christ, then that word can speak to you anytime, anywhere, under any situation. And if you acknowledge that, and I know one time I had an encounter with God, and years ago I'd asked him about getting lost in his praise, you know. And I had been told by a prophet. prophetic brother, but the Lord wanted me to get alone with him, you know, spend like time alone with him. And I did, and I went into the bedroom, and I began to pray, and I began to praise God. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, let me get lost in your praises. Mm. And I did. I mean, it was so overwhelming. I'd never been in anything like that since, and it just was just overwhelming. And literally, I feel like I heard a heavenly host praising God and singing the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life.
Hallelujah.
Never heard any choir that even could begin to compare with it. And then it was like the Lord spoke to me, but when he spoke to me, it was a sense of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, rise and kill the fox. And I've shared that before. And I didn't even know what the Lord meant by that. And I was a pretty young Christian. I was kind of afraid to ask him. To be honest with you, I didn't ask. So I was kind of afraid. I mean, because it was such an awesome presence of God. And, you know, as I that rest of that night, when I came out of the room, I mean, I literally felt like all night long, I just wasn't even walking on the ground. I mean, it was that euphoric feeling that I had in God. You know,
that's
being
the
in
glory.
God's,
that's the glory.
Yeah, and that tremendous presence.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, is I came to church about a week later, and Brother Ed, and I had questioned God all week long. I said, Lord, what did you mean by that? And he never did tell me. And I came to church, and Brother Eddie preached a sermon on the little foxes that spoil the vine. So then I realized exactly what God was saying. He was saying, rise and kill the fox. He was saying, don't let the little things destroy the vine.
That's
destroy
good.
The fruit of the vine.
Yes.
The little things are what get you. It's not the big stuff.
No.
You know,
that's right.
I mean, you've heard in the last few years people have had things out there where they said, don't sweat the big stuff.
The small
stuff.
Yeah.
The small stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Well, yeah, the small stuff is the important stuff.
Right.
Because it's the stuff that we let hinder us from moving into that consciousness and that presence of God. I mean, go and sit down and start to pray and watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
2 or 3 minutes after you're praying, your mind will start telling you, you know, you need to get the oil changed. You know, you need to go to the grocery store. You've got to do the wash. You need to do this. You need to fix that. You know, your mind will begin to start trying to. And a lot of times it's our natural mind. It's trying to come against the things of God. And that's where we have to learn to get quiet and still.
Yes.
And in that quiet and stillness is when the Spirit really speaks to us. You know?
Yeah, you know, I never saw that in that verse until you said it, Oscar. The little foxes spoil the vine. And just then a thought flashed through my mind where Jesus said, I am the vine, and you're the branches.
Right.
And a lot of times these little foxes can clog up that relationship or that ability to hear from the vine to the branch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Never saw it until you said that.
Kind of reminds me of the, when Mary and Martha came to visit. Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha. And Martha got up. She was cumbered about doing everything, the housework, I guess, trying to make it good, look good for the Lord. And she said to her sister, Lord, don't you care that she's not helping me here? She's not doing anything. And Mary was just sitting listening to the Lord.
Yes.
And you know the story. The Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part. That's more important than the housework.
Marge, amen that when you say that's more important than housework.
Now she allowed me to speak.
Yeah, she likes you. You're on her favorite list now.
When you talk about the high praises, Bill Britton had written about the high praises of God, and he's talking about coming into that place. And when we enter in and we begin to flow, that Christ, our brother, is there. And also just many member, you know, we encumber, you know, encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, that's what I was
and
thinking, dude, Brenda.
And
he
experienced that.
Yeah.
And talking,
praise God.
Experienced that.
You know, even when you think about, you know, the high praises of God, and you go in the Old Testament and you realize that they sent the praisers out a lot of times in front of the army. Now, I mean, you know, let's face it, if we're going to war now, we ain't going to send some band out in front of the army today. But in God, that is such a powerful, tremendous place. And at work, a lot of times I listen, sometimes I listen to Martha Minizzi. I don't know if any of y'all ever listen to her music, but she's got some just tremendous praise, you know, just tremendous praise stuff. And she's got this one that sounds real Jewish, and every time I listen to it, and I just can picture, picture the
Brave Army of Israel.
And I mean, it's got a tremendous anointing when I think about it, because I mean, I can just picture the praisers going forth, and the enemy saying, "What?" And the world is coming at us, and turn around and running in the other direction, getting away from them, you know. And once we learn that secret of really entering the high praises of God, nothing can stand. No enemy, no nothing, no sickness, no anything can stand.
It says that God sets up ambushments.
That's right.
Well, isn't that what kind of transpires out in the sanctuary when we go out here in about a half an hour and we start, the musicians start playing and we start praising the Lord? It's like the whole atmosphere starts changing in that place.
Yes.
It really does.
Well, even think about what happened with Solomon when he built the temple. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He had the praisers begin to praise, and they couldn't stand. Nobody could stand, for the glory of God was so great. And you know, that was that glory.
Yeah.
That was the glory of the old covenant.
Yeah.
Wait until you see the glory of the new covenant.
Yes.
My goodness.
The glory of the latter house will be much greater than the
new
covenant.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I mean,
amen.
Praise God.
That just excites me to even think about that.
Praise the Lord.
You know.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Are we through with verse 15? You know, the Word of God, it's eternal. So, you know, you can actually take one verse and stay on it for 6 weeks, you know, because it just keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding.
Yes.
Especially when you're, you know, when you follow the Spirit. And that's what I love about the Sunday school. You know, we got brothers like this and yourself. And soon as all we have to do is just open the door into the realm of the Spirit, and it starts flowing out of the many voices, right, Wiley?
Yes.
Not just one, it's one voice flowing out of many voices, but it's only one voice. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Brenda, read Psalm 34:16, please.
The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Somebody got another translation?
Oh, actually, they're all pretty close here, the ones I've got. 16.
Who's in charge of this church?
Please?
Who's in charge of this church?
Here's the pastor. Actually, I think when they talk about the face, they're talking about the countenance or the presence of God, aren't they? So it says, when the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, that's interesting, because if face represents the countenance of God, the presence of God, in other words, if you're doing evil, it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, Oscar, we were just talking about the face of the Lord represents God's presence, His person, His countenance. And it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, or the presence of the Lord, you might say, is against them that do evil. So in that sense, you know, evil, God's face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I don't know, what does that mean? That means he turns away his presence and allows the evil one to take over, or what are we dealing with here? To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And in remembrance, the root word there is to call to mind or to be thought of. In other words, they won't even be thought of anymore. There won't even be any memory of the evil that's left. It's kind of good, because it kind of speaks to me about the old man, you know, the old man. God eventually is going to totally, well, God has already annihilated the old man. I'm not going to say he's going to. I think the biggest problem,
matter of timing.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem we have with the old man is recognizing that he is dead and we've been buried with Christ, And there's just,
God sees him already, Dennis.
Right.
We see him.
He is.
We see him. We got to go through a process in order to see as
yes,
God sees.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes.
God's already figured everything out.
Yes.
In
yes.
Psalms, rather, Jeremiah, Isaiah 46:9-10. He said, "I'm God. There's none like me." Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel will stand and I'll do all my pleasure."
Yes. Yes.
God's got everything figured out to the minute detail right already. Yes. But experimentally, I think Prinzing or somebody used that word, it's got to be experimentally worked out
yes.
in our lives.
Yes,
yeah.
yes it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the grounding, that's the thing I find the most peace in. When I read those scriptures, I realize, Lord, you've already figured it all out. You
yes.
know what I'm going to do tomorrow, or next day, or a month, or a year yes. from now. You already know what I'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'll have to go through
yes.
to cause me to be doing what you want me to be doing.
My.
That's a wonderful thing. Yeah. 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 You know just how much pressure to put on you and just win
it.
He sure
does.
Yeah.
Jim, on,
sure.
that, on that scripture there, it's I'm just going to give you a little bit of
yeah, good.
Definition here. It says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them. And I just looked at Strong's. When it says, let me pull it up here.
Mm-hmm.
The root of that word means to do or to make in the broadest sense. And when you realize that Scripture says that when we see Him as He is, what'll happen?
We'll be like Him.
We'll be like Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, when the face of the Lord, I believe when you come in contact with the face of the Lord,
you change.
It changes.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off the remembrance of that person. It's going to cut. You're not going to remember that person anymore.
That's yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. That old man.
So when we've come in contact with the Lord, guess what? We became a new creation man.
Yes.
We became a completely different person than what we were before. And we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So I'm not sure that if you take the highest meaning of this, that it doesn't mean that when He's going to cut off the remembrance of them, we're not to look back,
mm-hmm.
but we're to look forward
yes.
as far as when we're moving with God,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
The only time we ever look back is to remember
mm-hmm.
the goodness of the Lord and
mm-hmm.
what He's done for us in
yes.
the past.
Right. right.
Think on those things,
yeah.
Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's just, I mean, I know that's a little that's a little out there, but to be honest with you, I believe that could be what the Lord's really saying there, because He'll cut off the remembrance of them, because they'll remember no more who they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll be changed by seeing His face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in verse 21, we're not there, but in verse 21, it says, evil shall cause the death of the wicked. And it's almost like the Lord is saying, just like He did at Calvary, He put death to death
yeah.
by death.
Mm-hmm.
He put death to death by death. So he uses the same artillery that the enemy was using. He just reverses it and uses it against the enemy. And that's why I saw that in that verse 21. It says, evil shall cause the death of the wicked. So that's a good thing, though, because that old man was wicked. And the evil actually overtakes and destroys the very wickedness of the old man that's in us. So death puts to death death. You know, you have to Sheila, you have to think on that for a minute.
What does Scripture say that we're to do? We're to reckon ourselves to be what?
Dead.
Dead.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Unto sin,
right.
but alive unto God.
Right.
You know, and you know, our old man is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. You know?
Amen. Amen.
You know, and, you know, I think when we really start to understand, like you said, that God dealt with the death principle.
It is finished.
It was finished.
Amen.
You know. I know that's, like I say, that's a little deep.
Yeah, well, the spirit man can grasp it, you know. That's this guy up here goes, huh? He goes on tilt.
Yeah.
What do you mean you put death to death by death? What's all that mean? But, you know, we just stay before the face of the Lord and all those things become clear to us, you know. He illuminates those things. Did you have
something?
Sure.
Because I was reading this morning in 2 Corinthians 5, and it was saying, like, Christ's love compels us. And it also relates to what you were saying. It was saying right here in, like, 5:16 through 18, it says, like, Christ says he is, therefore anyone in Christ, he is the new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading that with my daily bread.
That's good.
This morning.
Yeah.
Before I came.
That's good.
And like he says, I was getting the meaning of what he was saying, compels us, how he shares his word, his interpretations,
mm-hmm.
and everything, and how the Spirit is
mm-hmm.
moving. So I was really, like, enjoying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
A lot of people really stumble at when you start talking about reconciliation. You know, Christian people have a real problem with that a lot of times because they don't want to realize that he has fully reconciled everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Scripture, in I think it's, I'm not sure, I can't think exactly where it's at right now, but it says that that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's part of what you just read there.
Not imputing their trespasses.
Not imputing their trespasses.
Praise God.
Yeah. And when he was reconciled, the word for reconciling there is a word that means to compound a difference. Now, what happens when you compound a difference is you take one thing and you take another thing and you put them together and it becomes something entirely new. It's like a compound word. And then there's another place where it talks about him reconciling things in heaven and in earth. That's a different word for reconciliation there. That word means fully reconciled. If you fully reconcile things in heaven and in earth, if something's fully reconciled, guess what? You can't reconcile it any farther. It's fully reconciled. It's totally reconciled. But the church out there doesn't really believe that to a certain extent, you know, because they're basically always telling everybody how bad a sinner they are and everything. And they need to start telling them what the Lord has done and already accomplished.
Amen.
And that they have been fully reconciled.
Amen.
You know, and when they do that, that's why we've been given the word of reconciliation and the work to do the work of reconciliation.
Yes.
And that's really to begin to tell people, you've already been reconciled.
Right.
He
right.
can't go to the cross again. He's already went one time.
Right.
Your sins are paid for.
Right.
You know, if you'll receive it, you're clean, you're free. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hard. That's hard thing to grasp sometimes for people because they think they have to do so many things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To make it happen, well, you know, all you got to really do is acknowledge what he's already done.
Yes.
It's already been given to you, you know.
Well, it's like I said last week, Oscar, and I never saw the scriptures before in this light where Paul's talking about you're already reconciled, you know, God's reconciled you. He's done everything he can do on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul says, now be ye reconciled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In other words, get it through your thick skull.
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
you reconcile yourself to God because God's already reconciled himself to you.
Yes.
And that's where the problem is, like Brother Oscar was saying, too much of the gospel that we're hearing in churches today is about sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to a minister this morning that I love dearly, but he spent the whole hour talking about anger.
Yeah.
You know, anger is a work of the flesh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead of lifting up, you know, when Paul preached, he said, when I came to you, I didn't know anything other than Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all Paul preached was the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And as he kept preaching that, and that started getting down into people's spirits, all of a sudden they started seeing it. But if Paul would have ran around talking about, you know, let me talk to you about anger today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk to you about jealousy today. Well, all they're doing is focusing on the acts of the fruit of the old man instead of the new man.
Yes.
You know, and even though this brother brought a nice message, I felt it was a little bit more on the suke side than it was the zoe, you know, because he was basically saying, you know, here's five different ways you can overcome anger. Well, we already did overcome anger at the cross. We overcame it. You know, he bought and paid for all that. Now, I realize it's a process, and, you know, we can't just get into denial and say, well, I never get angry. Well, we do get angry. Or we, you know, we do still are afflicted by those things. Like Paul said, you know, Paul said, in my heart, I love God and I want to serve God, but daggone it, these things keep coming in on me, you know. The very thing I know I should do, I don't do. But he finished it up by saying, but oh, thank God. Through Jesus Christ, I am delivered, and I will be delivered.
So. I guess as long as you don't let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger.
Be angry
and sin not. There are things happen that all of us get a little angry about, but the damage is if you retain that, if you keep holding on to that and don't become forgiven.
Yes.
I think that's what he meant by don't let the sun go down on it. Don't hold it.
Okay, Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And I found something interesting that I never saw before, and I looked up the word cry, Brother O. In Strong's, it's 68:17. It says, to cry out for help is to gather together. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Because when we gather means to become united. And to come, and it says, and come together in one place.
Yes.
To bring clothes or to throw a blanket over one's legs, it said. But I just thought it was interesting. I never looked at it as when you're crying out to God, basically really what you're doing is you are gathering together with the Lord when you're crying out to Him. Mm-hmm. And you become united with Him. And you come together in one place as you cry out to God. Mm-hmm. And that's the secret place. And when you're there, God dries those tears.
90 verse Psalm, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
Thank you.
Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Praise God. Praise God. So when you're crying out, you're really just saying, Lord, let's become one, let's gather together in one place.
Yeah.
Let's think the same thoughts, Lord.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Praise God. Psalm 34:18. Betty, you got Psalm 34:18 there?
I don't have the Amplified.
That's all right.
Okay. You say what?
18. Psalm 34:18.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yes. Praise the Lord. That word nigh, even though it's such a small word, one of the scriptures that jumped into my head was, as soon as I find it here, jumped in and jumped out. Okay, Romans 10:8 says, but what sayest thou? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, and even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. But it says the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. And again, that word nigh means the Lord is at hand. Personal relationship, draw near. But I love that where it says, but what sayest thou? For the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth.
Mm-hmm. The next verse is good too, that of thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead to be saved. So our confession means an awful lot. What you confess, you eventually become.
Yes.
How does that say? It says, confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart.
Yeah, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Okay.
This one says,
that's Romans 10:17, I think.
Okay.
Adonai is near those who are broken hearts. He saves those whose spirit is crushed.
That it says unto them that are of a broken heart, and broken means crushed. means to tear apart, the act of breaking apart, and get this, and bring to birth. That is awesome. And that's the definition in Strong's. Broken is to be shattered, to be crushed. And then I thought about that verse where it says, you can help me out here, Wiley. Cast yourself upon the rock, lest the rock fall upon you.
And break you to pieces. One of them talks about the rock has to fall on you.
Right.
It will break you to pieces, but that's good too.
Right.
That's breaking down your stubbornness.
Yes, Lord.
Keep on doing it. If the rock falls on you, it'll crush you.
Yeah, it'll crush the old stubbornness and rebellion that we're showing. Against what God's trying to accomplish in our lives.
Praise the Lord.
That scripture there, when it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Like he was saying, to be broken is like to be broken in pieces, and so on and so forth.
Right.
The word contrite there means like to be made into powder.
Wow.
So that scripture that says, he that falls upon the Lord shall be broken. Or the rock falls on the rock, he'll be broken. And the one that the rock falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. But
praise
it's still
God.
Good.
Right.
It's all
yes.
good.
Right.
It's still
yes.
all good. See,
right.
if you realize that,
right.
what it's saying there. That goes right along with the scripture here, the meaning of these words, you know,
right.
in Hebrew.
Yeah, and when the rock falls on you, when you talk about being broken, again, that means to bring to birth. Mm-hmm. That new birth inside of us, to bring that new man to birth inside of us. Isn't it neat how the word just all flows together? And it's cool. Yeah, it's Luke 20, verse 18. Says, whosoever falls upon that stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.
Yes.
And, you know, some of us have to be ground up a little bit. What can I say?
I'm ground up a lot.
Watch that confession now.
If you didn't ground the coffee beans up, you wouldn't have very good coffee.
if you take that word powder and you think about it, and Scripture says, he knows our fame, we are but what? Dust?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is dust?
Yeah.
It's when you break something down to its base elements, you know, just break it down as small as you can, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, yes.
What was that?
That's good. That is good.
Yeah, we live in the day of juicers. They throw the peelings and everything in those things that turn into juice. They say a lot of the good nutrition stuff is in the bad stuff, the other stuff we think is bad and we throw away.
Yes.
Yeah, in Ephesians 2:13, the Lord, it says again, the Lord is nigh thee, and it talks about in Ephesians 2:13, but now in the Messiah, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's interesting, too, that we are made nigh. Mm-hmm. The more he makes us, it's like the closer you draw to him, the more you become like him. And the more you become like him, the more in unity you become, the more in agreement you become with him. And that was the message that Brother Doug Fortune was bringing last week about coming into unity with God and into agreement with God, coming into the same place with God, like we're talking about here. But we were made nigh. You know, we don't have to make ourselves. He already made us nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, he did it. He finished it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think that we can stress the finished work of Christ hard enough to people.
There was an awful lot of men and those little great last three words that Jesus spoke on the cross. It is finished.
Wow.
That took the past, the present, and the future, and all brought it into the truth.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Amen. What was that? There was a couple of scriptures here too. I had someone talked about now. You know, you were talking about past, the present, took care of it all. there's a good sermon there in that word now. Every time you look at the word now in the New Testament, it's all about what Jesus has already done for us. It isn't, it's going to come. It isn't in the future. It isn't in the past. It's now. You have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, you know. Not I'm going to be, you know. It's like, I guess, was Kelly Varner said, the thing that Satan loves to hear is, it's going to be. It's coming one of these days, you know, as long as you keep putting it out there in the future. You know, the enemy's saying, you're no threat to me because, you know, you don't realize what you possess now. You keep looking for it to come. And again, that's where our precious brothers and sisters are in the church today. They're looking for him to come one of these days down through the clouds, okay? And there is a coming of the Lord. I'm not denying that in his fullness, okay? But right now we got to understand that the kingdom of God is within us now. You know, the day of salvation is tomorrow. No, the day of salvation is now, the Lord said. Praise
the
Lord.
You know, the big error I see in much teaching is they say you've got to go to a certain place.
Yeah.
Like you've got to leave this earth if you're ever going to get into the higher realms. But higher realms already around you. It's even closer within you.
Yes.
Luke 17:20, when the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom should come, he said, this kingdom's not coming by observation. Amen. You don't see it with these eyes.
That's right.
Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, and all this. He said, but the kingdom of God is within.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. And today we're looking for Israel to go to battle with Iran, and they're going to build the temple over in Israel, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, can they build a greater temple than the one that Jesus Christ has built within us? It's a spiritual temple.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about the new Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's not a place that's 1,200 miles wide and high and square. It's coming to the place where you know what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and you know the love of Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
That passes knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Yes. That's
God.
The new Jerusalem. When you get there, your feet may have not left the earth, but the rest of you is there.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, when we're born again, doesn't it say we were born from above?
Right.
And Jesus said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. So he was walking in heavenly places. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord telling me about that one time, about that scriptures, and the New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Mm-hmm. It's really the church growing up to be the bride of Christ is what it really amounts out to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when the church grows up to be the bride of Christ and really grows to maturity to be his bride, then it's going to be, the word Jerusalem, if you actually look at it and study it out and break it down into the words it came from, it means to point, to teach, to show forth. It means to pour forth peace. Salem, Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. That's what it really means. And you know what? Until the church grows up and starts teaching people how to be at peace with God by drawing them up to the breast and giving them the sincere milk of the Word. And the sincere milk of the Word is not keeping them on milk, but getting them to grow up to where they can take the meat of the Word of God and grow into a mature person. That's what it's all about. You know, even Jesus in the book of Revelations, when he revealed himself to John John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, when he saw Jesus, and I've said this before, he turned around and he described him, and you know, his hair was white like wool, his eyes were like a lamp of fire, and so on and so forth. His paps were girded about, as it were, with gold. And the word paps is the word for female breasts. It's female breasts. And, you know, that's like Scripture said, blessed are the paps that thou hast sucked concerning Jesus, you know. He said, no, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and obey it, you know, and that kind of thing. That's what he would say. But see, the reason that they saw that, what they really saw was the fullness of the body of Christ grown up into a mature man on the Lord's day.
Praise God.
And it was so glorious that John fell down like one dead. Literally felt like, and in the book of Daniel had a revelation of God that was almost the same. But instead of it saying anything about paps being girded about with gold, it was loins girded about with gold. Well, why was that? Because in that day, Jesus Christ hadn't come forth yet. He was saying, I'm about ready to birth a divine thing into this earth that's covered with gold, the divinity of God. I'm going to birth something into this earth, and it's going to be so glorious that you won't know. But in Revelations was the fullness of it when he's grown up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, we have to come into the fullness of that day, and when we do, we're going to be a part of the body of Christ. That's why in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us,
right. in us.
That's because we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, when we come to that, we're going to be the love nature of God.
Then the world will know.
The world will know.
Yeah, we can get out there and pass out all those four spiritual law tracts and get them television shows going for billions of dollars. And I guess, you know, God uses all that. But, man, all it takes is just for a few people to come to the mature sons of God, and they'll turn the world upside down.
John 3:13, Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Yes.
Now, his people were right here on earth when he said that. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm in heaven right now because I brought him with me.
Amen. That's right. He is heaven.
He is heaven.
And so when you're in him, you're in heaven.
Wherever he was, and I say wherever God is, that's heaven.
Amen.
If we come to the place where we can receive it, experience it within us.
Right. Yes. Right. Within.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
All right. Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
God gave me this one while I was having freedom.
that when you got saved on your day of freedom?
No, I was saved before that. Yeah. On a special day of freedom.
Yeah, freedom too.
Then came you and said, I've been a lot of places in my life and time. I was searching for something as if I was blind. I was always... always been there for me, your love so rare and so pure. I made a lot of bad choices in my life. It was hard to endure. Then came you. Now I have my feet firmly planted. I promise I won't ever take you for granted. I will shout out to the world how you protected me and kept me safe. No matter what challenges I go through, I won't lose my faith. Even when I didn't know that you were my shadow. And Father, I know how it was you that fought my battle. Now that my life is finally back on track, with each day becoming so refreshing and new, that's because I owe it all to you.
Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good.
That'd make a beautiful song. Yeah. It'd make a good song. Good Christian song, too. Yeah. Very good. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Bob. Bob going to dismiss us in prayer here this morning, Bob.